So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Manuel Granacher, who is the CEO and founder of Mila.com. Hi, Manuel. How are you doing?
Hi. Very good. Very good. Thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome. So, Manuel, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a little bit about you and tell us a bit about the work that you do?
Sure. So I'm a Swiss engineer. Sorry for my English.
Not I have a problem. It's perfect. Better than my Swiss.
We can also speak in German, right?
No.
So I have a tech background. So I'm a computer science, computer engineer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and since my study time, I found companies, tech companies, usually here in Switzerland, but running already globally. Mm-hmm. So I started my first company in 2006 is doing kind of a service cloud like Salesforce.
Right.
And Mila, I started 2.5 years ago. And yeah, I'm happy to tell you a little bit more about that today.
Fantastic. Now, when you're talking about Mila, and I understand to do with Mila that you're doing some pretty cool stuff that is helping companies sort of crowdsource their customer service or the delivery of customer service. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how it works? Because it's crowdsourcing and using forums and communities and all that sort of stuff is actually, it's a known thing, but you're doing something kind of different and it's quite cool. So I'm really interested to understand a bit more about it and how it works.
Yes. Yeah, it's really exciting. So what we do is we have been working with large companies and help them to building a crowdsourced service based on the marketplace. So it's tapping into the collaborative economy and sharing economy world. So in the end, the idea is really simple. We empower customers helping other customers in the field, so at customers' home. So think about you have a kind of a tech geek next door helping you with a computer problem and the computer shipped by a large company.
Uh-huh.
Because you see that companies need a really flexible and multi-channel service today, and customer expect service in kind of real time. So what we already know from products, and to deliver a real time service experience or moments to customers, you need people everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we had the idea to crowdsource that, so to people that has the know-how and help other customers in their field, and mostly in the neighborhoods of each other, but it's really close. And in the end, what we do is extend current, existing field force service or field service of large companies by using a crowd or collaborative economy approach.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is also that these kind of users are really engaged and kind of even brand ambassadors, they offer their know-how in the field.
So I understand that. So you've got like organizations that have basically field service engineers that might be installing products or services, whether it's kind of broadband or boxes or TVs or computers or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, you're building some people call it the last mile of customer service, but actually, you're almost going the last couple of inches.
Yes,
in many ways.
Absolutely. So it's real. The idea is, in the end, service is what usually the customer should do by their own, because most are maybe lazy or not have the know-how or not the time.
Sure.
And would expect if they get the product, they have a service immediately, right? And that's only possible with a crowdsourced approach, because if you have your own field engineers, it's really costly, it's really expensive, and you have a long waiting time. So if you call in to, a telco provider, whatever, sometimes you need to wait a week, and that's not real time, right? So and there we can really help large companies to deliver a full new customer experience by even empowering their best customers to helping other customers in the field. Online, really offline in the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's great. I mean, so tell me, is all of the customer action, the people that are the customers that are helping others, do they get rewarded for this, or how does this work?
Exactly. So they get paid.
Okay.
Paid as you pay in a field force engineer, whatever. So you get paid. Sometimes you pay. We call these crowd workers friends, service friends.
Okay.
So the friends get paid. sometimes by the customer directly, if it is just kind of an installation fee, or you know, or you don't have the know-how, so you pay them. Or our customers, I mean, the large companies, is give you a voucher to use them.
Right.
So what they can use is a marketing campaign. You know, if they give you the product, including installation or setup or training, right? So they can give you a voucher to really use someone or get someone from your neighborhood explaining you the product, especially. Right. In more tech products, or you know, or you buy products what you need to mount, or furniture as an example.
Yeah.
So and you can combine product and service very well together as a large company.
Excellent. So that means that when you talk about furniture, does that mean you've got a set of people that are experts in deciphering kind of IKEA assembly instructions?
Yeah, but IKEA is not the customer now, but maybe in the future. But we have here a corporation in Zurich. In Switzerland already with a big energy provider for the whole city, and they offer you already like this service when you move. You know, you need someone that fixing your lamps, you know, and you install your lights and so on, and your kitchen and also some furniture, and this works very well. So because they have the touch point, right? So yeah. They know exactly when you move.
Yeah.
And they can offer now not only the electricity, so they can offer you a service on top. Even they not have their own service people, but they can reuse or use the touch point more efficient and can bring you an added value service, right? Give you a voucher for someone in your neighborhood that helps you install your lamps. I mean, that's something what is really helpful for the end customers.
Excellent. So just so we can make this a bit more real, and also to give you a bit of a shout out, and also one of your clients, because I understand that one of your clients has just won an award related to this. So can you tell me a bit about who they are, what they did, and how they've benefited from using the platform? And I guess all that sort of driven towards helped them win this award, right?
Yes, absolutely. So this is the largest Switzerland-based telecom provider, Swisscom.
Uh-huh.
Is the name. So that's the you know, it was a government-owned company here, but now it's the largest telecom provider here in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And they won this Crowd Collaborative Economy Award provided by Crowd Companies. That's an organization in America.
Uh-huh.
It's funny that a Swiss company wins this award in America.
Yeah, yeah.
About this this really approach that Swisscom is entering into the crowd and collaborative economy, tap into this new hype. And we did this product together, what we call Swisscom Friends. So
right.
This is exactly these crowd workers providing service in customers' homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, it works really perfect. So we already have more than 1,500 some Swisscom friends in entire Switzerland.
Right.
And over 90% of the customers' services customers get help within the first 3 hours. So
wow.
You can imagine. So that's nearly real time. So it's not real time yet, but you can imagine it's really cool. So if you post your request, immediately you get answer for someone in your neighborhood that is helping you out with your problem.
Yeah.
And also the average rating is 4.7 out of 5 stars.
Wow.
And
cool.
It's really high. And this is in the end for a telco most important thing. Because as you know, the service is so important. And we pilot this with Swisscom, you know, and first there are some criticisms, as you can imagine, and you know, some barriers. But now I'm really proud to say that Swisscom is rolling out that nationwide and really boost it. And because they also realize that it's not only, of course, cost saving, it's more better customer service and a really good extension to their existing services. So it's not kind of competing with existing services, because these small services mostly are handled on the online forum or, you know, in the hotlines.
Sure.
Because you don't want, you know, a real technician sometimes too expensive for the customers to do it.
Yes.
And sometimes just plug in a cable or, you know, explain you simple something quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a niche in the end, what we can fill out with this Swisscom Friends helping you.
And do all the friends have to be Swisscom customers themselves?
Sure, of course. They are customers.
Okay.
And they are certified.
Right.
They get onboarded, they get, you know, kind of, they get trained, onboarded, they do online, you know, trainings, mm-hmm. that they know the products. But what we find out, even think about, if you open an account in your neighborhood with your picture and with your skills and everything, I mean, you are really committed to what you do. I mean, in the end, you sell yourself in your neighborhood. Everyone yeah. knows you there, right? So these people are very committed. I mean, they exactly know, I mean, I would lose my face if someone in my neighborhood gives me a bad rating. It's right. The neighborhood is, in the end, the trust factor.
Yeah.
You know? So there are people on the same street in the end. And that's also why the customer really love it, because that's someone next by, you have trust to these people, sometimes more than a technician, right?
Yeah. I imagine it probably, you know, if you get somebody who's getting great service from another Swisscom customer in their neighborhood, I'd imagine word goes round, and that's probably not going to hurt their sales and retention as well.
No, of course. I mean, it's they are ambassadors in the field, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, I mean, this is what a great initiative with Swisscom. I think that sounds great. I mean, but can this type of crowdsourcing work in all markets, or do you think it might be just best suited to certain types of organizations? I mean, how wide is the application, do you think?
I mean, I'm sure it would work. I mean, the whole collaborative economy is just starting, right? I mean, you could use that everywhere where service is happening. But we focused on just three industries, because as a startup, you need to have a strong focus. So we currently focus on telecommunication providers, energy providers, and retail. So retail is that sells products that need services around, like IKEA, as you say.
Okay.
So these kind of companies that, in the end, provide products or services that need support or services in the field.
Okay.
And we also find out it works good if customers have, or large companies with millions of end customers, or, you know, 500,000 to millions of end customers, you need a liquidity, right? Otherwise, it makes no big sense to build up a crowd of 1,000 people.
Right, that's just because it's almost the law of kind of probability. So if you have a million customers, you're more likely to get 1,000.
Absolutely. And on the other side, you also need to be sure that there are customers that has an on-demand of service, right? Like
right.
call centers, you know, like think about the telco, they get millions of requests every year, you know, and because As you know, it's really hard to build a two-side marketplace. So you should be sure that you always have the touch points where you can, you know, where you can use, and you always have the demand of service, but you just can, you know, better use than just need to build. As soon as you need to build the touch point, if you need to build the market request, it's a marketing game, and then the companies need to invest in marketing, and usually big organizations don't do that. So it's better you as an organization already have the demand, and you can optimize it with a crowd by deliver better customer service, you know, on demand. You have good use cases, you have good touch points.
Yeah.
In the end, we believe it's only successful if you have a good integration in your operations, means customer centers, like call centers,
sure.
shops,
yeah.
or online channels, right? When you have a checkout of a product that you can place, hey, by the way, there's a friend nearby.
Yeah, if you've got any problems,
I can recommend, you know.
Yeah, if you've got any problems, give them a call, etc.
Exactly. So the integration into the existing process is key.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you are in this kind of, I would say, marketplace game where you need to build the demand. And I'm honest, I mean, it's really hard to tell the people, if you need a service, by the way, go to www.blah.blah.blah, right?
Yeah.
So you need to place the service where demands already or requests already happening, and then you can benefit by having an on-demand source, an on-demand service, and these kind of real-time service moments, and you can save costs, but on the other side, increase customer satisfaction.
Well, I imagine that like you talked about save costs. When you get it right, there must be a significant cost saving in terms of call deflection and those type of things.
Absolutely.
Calls from your existing kind of service engineer sort of network.
Yeah, and you can use, I mean, large companies anyway have mostly not enough service engineers at all, right? So it's the complexity is growing, not less. As you know, every device is getting connected to the internet and so on and so on. I mean, it's getting harder for large companies to really provide a multi-channel service. So we not compete with the existing field force, we extend it, right? The interesting thing, and for more or less zero fixed costs. So we don't have these people on the payroll. And when you deal with large companies, you need both. You need on one side, every large company needs to reduce costs. On the other side, and you need to increase customer satisfaction or experience. And we have a really perfect product that do both. So you can reduce costs and also increase in the same time your customer satisfaction.
So, I mean, that's great, Manuel. I mean, so, but like kind of many sort of community-based sort of strategies, in you know, it sounds great in practice, and well, it sounds great in theory, but can often be harder in practice. I mean, you've talked about, you know, you need a large number of customers to get the kind of the, you know, this group of friends that's going to be, I feel like, viable to be able to deliver this sort of strategy. It's, you've got to have the right sort of like being the right sort of product or service kind of area. I mean, apart from those kind of, if you like, preconditions, what have you found is the best way to get this sort of like strategy started? Because it seems like there's a lot of different bits to the whole sort of thing, because there's a recruitment, there's an onboarding, there's also an integration with the kind of the overall experience, then a training and, you know, awareness kind of campaign that has to be done with the existing kind of organizational staff within the organization. So it's like there's a lot of moving parts that make this work.
I mean, yes.
So if I said to you, what would be your, where should people get started with this sort of thing?
Absolutely true. So very important, in my opinion, is that you, before you establish a crowdsourced service, is that you have a clear understanding which service you want to provide. You know, the service that brings the best value to your massive customer base.
Uh-huh.
So you need to do analytics that you say, look, this is really there. We have a most request in the customer service centers or in my forums or, you know, any problems where you can specify.
Mm-hmm.
And that we call it use case. So you need a clear use case.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to build a crowd in a, we say, a pilot area, like a city mm-hmm. in your country.
Yeah,
one city where we think that's we have enough requests. And then we need to you build together with us, you build your crowd, okay? And the crowd is really important. That some people not understand to build this, crowdsourcing is not outsourcing, okay? So it's a community. So you need to build them that they are, in the end, real ambassadors of your company. It's not just that you outsource the stuff to these people. So you build a community to them, and you need to engage with them as a company, right? You need to make an event, invite them. You need to train them. You need to make them passionate about your brand, okay, your products, and so on. And that's then you have to be big potential that these people are delivering a great service in the field. And we do this usually that we ask our customers maybe first to start with employees and customers or retired employees, you know,
someone
that is already around your or was engaged with your company. And it's a little bit easier to start. And you have a lot of them. Think about the telco. I mean, they have thousands of retired people that are still behind this brand and still committed to the company. And you can use them, right?
Sure.
Or students that did stuff for you. So you find them. So we start to build a crowd force, like a few hundred people in a city.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to bring the demand together by implementing the marketplace into the right touch points,
right,
like call center. Call center is a good starting point. So someone is calling in, say, hey, I need help. And then you can say, hey, I have a really new product for you. We have a friend exactly in your neighborhood. Can I recommend this to you? You know, so that you can use these touch points.
Yeah.
And then you iterate, you know, you go further. And then you see, okay, we have the right use case, we have the right product,
mm-hmm.
we have the right approach, you scale to the other cities and you scale nationwide.
Fantastic.
What is not good if you start too big, because otherwise you have not enough demand or not enough resources in the field, like crowdsource people, and then the people will not come back anymore, right? So the first touch needs to work, right?
Excellent.
That's my it's my advice.
Fantastic. And so, one thing I'm on top of that, I just wanted to ask. So I understand the rationale about piloting and stuff, and I think that makes complete sense. And I understand about starting close to you with retired employees, because they know and understand the products and services and the brand and everything else, and then you go out to loyal customers and so on and so forth. That's kind of great. What sort of timeline are we talking about? Like, say, Swisscom and their initial pilot. What was the timeline from initial yes, let's do this to recruitment to events to kind of training to integration to deployment?
Yeah, we in the end, even this is a large company in Switzerland, we was really fast. I mean, the pilot was ready, including the first transaction within 6 months.
Right, okay.
And then, so it's really quick. So we had already, as we started, ramped this up in Zurich, after a few weeks, we already had a few hundreds helpers or friends, mm-hmm. I would say even 600-700.
Uh-huh.
And then we did a 1 year, we just worked with kind of a pilot in greater Zurich area.
Yeah.
And then we started with other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And now after near 2 years we go really nationwide. So, but from the first say meeting to get it up and running, 6 months.
Wow, fantastic! That's
Because the platform in the end it's full ready to start. We just need to find the use cases. We do it, of course. We need to make it kind of branded.
Yeah.
So, that can take a while. Depends on the big on the size of the company. Sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's a nice thing. So you can really start with low budget. You don't need a huge budget as a large company. You can really do a pilot. What is usually, you get a quick decision. Important, in my opinion, is more that you really have a team on, it should be not only a top-down approach, but you need both. You need a team in the organization that are really committed and understands this crowd stuff and collaborative economy.
Yeah.
But you need also someone from the top management that is really supporting the crowd stuff because it's really disruptive sometimes. You are in this kind of sharing economy dialogues and so on. So you need someone from the C-level people that really likes this idea to tap into collaborative economy, okay. Because they're also showing up some other questions like, why you handle over service to your end customers? That should be your responsibility,
Yes.
So there are also especially PR, they see this a little bit, like old fashioned, right?
There's control issues and things that go.
But honestly, I have a clear opinion. The collaborative economy is a fantastic opportunity even for large companies. Look to Airbnb, Ubers, and all the stuff. You can ignore it and then someone else is doing it, or you really go into this trend. And I believe to build a service force, crowdsource, is a really good idea to test it, and really jump into this collaborative economy and learn from it, right? So for large companies, it's a really good use case to start with.
Fantastic. I think it's an interesting kind of thing, how, particularly for large organizations, how they can harness the power of the collaborative economy. And at the same time, it would help them extend and enhance their customer experience.
Absolutely.
But also at the same time, potentially help them save costs, but also drive, satisfaction and retention and loyalty. It seems to me that, yes, it's hard work, and yes, you might have to change your thinking a little bit, but if you do it, and you do it right, and you do it well, then it's, everybody wins.
Yeah, absolutely. The most large companies have somewhere in their vision customer centricity and all the stuff.
Yeah.
But believe me, if you really do and achieve that, your customers helping other customers providing service. Then, in my opinion, you have the best customer centricity what you can have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on the other side, also what I really like is, especially on Swisscom, they even include or invite their employee to be part of this program. So employees that maybe are in the back office somewhere are on customer front and helping customers with their products. And, this is a real commitment. That's engagement of employees, right?
Absolutely. And does that mean that the employees then get extra reward and extra recognition for getting involved in that, and also can boost their earnings as well?
Sure, they can boost a little bit their earnings. Of course, they need to sign a contract that does not affect their normal employee conditions, right?
Yeah.
But if they do this over weekends and in the evenings, of course, that's fantastic. Except, of course, the field force people. They need to focus on the field force. But if I would run this, a large company, I would do the same. I mean, when you have your own people in the field and they experience the product, but also the problems,
yeah.
I mean, every company has some problems, that they feel really engaged, and otherwise they even don't know it. So I think it's also a good program to, you know, to bring your own employees, but usually large companies has 10,000 of them, into somewhere customers' fronts, right? And that's fantastic.
That's excellent. Manuel, that's fascinating stuff, and I can see the potential kind of behind it. Is there anything else that you think you'd like to add that we haven't kind of covered that you'd like want to share with our readers and listeners before I ask you my final question that I always ask people that I invite on the podcast?
Okay. So, no, I mean, of course, I just want to be clear. So I really believe on the crowdsourced service can be really the future of customer service. Or
right.
It's the only way how we really achieve a kind of this, I like this real-time service moment, you know, that you have the feeling that, hey, I need a service and you get it right now. So as you already experienced, if you buy something on Amazon, you get a product more or less on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this on the product side, we already have it. On the e-commerce side, we already have it. But on service, sometimes it takes too long, right? And then you get
building,
a service.
And building the bridge kind of to that by crowdsourcing the service.
Yeah, and especially I'm proud that I really was able with my team over the last 2 years to make it real. And that, as an example, Swisscom or other large companies working with us have now the KPIs and can really see, okay, it's true. I mean, 2-3 years ago, you can imagine it was really hard to convince people about collaborative economy stuff. But today, it's a little bit easier. So, yeah, and I welcome you to go to our website, www.mila.com, and have a look what we do. And hopefully, maybe someone is interested.
Fantastic. Manuel, that's fascinating. I mean, I was going to ask you if there's anything you'd like to shamelessly plug. But I think you've just done that. So that's
yeah, kind of I already did it.
You snuck it in there. But I think that's fascinating, and I can see real, you know, big potential there for companies that are willing to think differently, to extend their service and their experience. I think some of the work that you're doing, it's fascinating and really interesting, and I'm excited for you. But I just want to say thanks for your time today for sharing your story. I think that's brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you very much for having me on how we say that? Not on stage, on broadcast?
On the broadcast. So there you go. That'll do.
Okay. Thank you very much.